Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Aren't you glad we serve a God who's alive, not dead? Huh? Woo, look at the person beside you and say, wow. Well, get your Bibles out. And let me deliver a word to you here. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. I want to add to a little bit of the message, and you know, I'm not going to get through, so that's okay, right? Y'all say that's okay, Pastor. All right. So I want to make sure you're going to say that anyway. Nobody's going to say no. We don't get through now. No. So I mean, I know I got 100% answer there. But anyway, but Brother Ivan's going to be here next week, so he'll be here next week preaching. So I'll have to cut the message and whatever. So don't make sure and be here. Next Sunday for that. But anyway, I've been preaching this message. First, we talked about, you know, and I want to review just a second. We talked about Jesus being the perfect sacrifice, that he is the perfect sacrifice. It's already been done. It's late. Quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to the enemy. Tell you that you're not doing it right. Tell you that you're no good. Tell you that you're messing up. And stop going to the throne of God, because that's not what the blood of Jesus did. The blood of Jesus did set you free. The blood of Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. It's been done. It's over. The heavens open. You can walk into the throne room. You can go boldly into the throne room. You can talk to your Heavenly Father, because the issue of the sin issue, the wall of separation that was between you and God, has been taken down. It's been destroyed. Hello? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. But then, even though that's all been done, even though all that miracle's taken place, even though all that's yours, God still has an order to the things that he does. Everybody said, God's got an order. He's got an order to the things he does. Things just don't happen by chance. Things just don't happen because you just happened to get the right prayer said, or you just had your face just right, or you were standing up when you did that, so you got to keep standing up praying, or whatever. It doesn't work like that, church. You can go throughout the scripture. God wants to bless you. He wants to put things into your life. He wants to pour things into your life. But there's some things that you have to do in order to receive from heaven. Hello? Y'all with me? Y'all believe it?
Yes.
You believe God wants to bless you?
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, perched in heaven, God is sitting there looking over the throne saying, just come on, believe. Come on, believe, because he wants to pour himself out on you. But most of the time, we don't do the very first order of business. The first order of business is God has to be first. And we usually stumble and fall over that right there, because we don't want God, we don't want to have to go through the effort of putting God first. I got to ask y'all this, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but let me, is there anybody in here that you remember when electricity came to your house the very first time? Wow. Okay. So, I mean, I guess some of us are going to say, yeah, that happened last week with me, Pastor. I ain't been out there a long time. I never could get them in that pole in here, you know. I'm not talking about that. Y'all remember when electricity came in? Okay, can I ask you a question? Okay, how old were you? Somebody? 8? Anybody older than 8? 7? 10 years old. Okay, so you probably don't have a really vivid memory. I mean, you can remember maybe the electricity coming in, but you don't really know what life was like trying to cook without electricity, right? You do? Well, if you had electricity coming in the house, you had light bulbs, right? But you still had a wood stove. Okay. All righty-o. Okay. How many of you, let me see if I can get a few more hands on this. Remember, indoor plumbing came in. Got a few hands on that? Indoor plumbing? Some of y'all still have outdoor plumbing today. No? Indoor plumbing? Right? The point I'm trying to make is that there was a time, like, I got up this morning and I made coffee, and it didn't take me any time or any effort, right? Some of y'all may have already had a coffee pot that was so smart that it came on because you had electricity in your house and already had your coffee ready for you when you got up because you set the timer. I never could figure out how to set the timer, and I now can't see it. So, you know, I don't have a coffee pot like that, but it didn't take me but minutes to get in there and fix my coffee this morning. But I was thinking about, I don't know why, I just got up this morning, I'm thinking about, man, can you imagine what it'd been like if I had to go outside and get some wood and bring it in here and put it in the wood stove and get the thing started and get the fire going and you know, getting all this done. And now, y'all got ready for church this morning. You got all your, you know, you got cleaned up. You put your best shirt on or dress on or got your foo-foo out and, you know, tried to get all smelly and looking dolled up and everything. Well, if you'd have been messing around a wood-burning stove, you know, that morning, everybody come to church smell like smoke. Hello? Right? I mean, you're not going to get away from that. I mean, I got to carrying the thought on more about like, okay, man, you know, you imagine doing that and just getting water and washing clothes. And so my mind just kept thinking about more and more things that y'all who saw electricity coming at 8 or 10, your parents knew the hardships of living without those basic necessities, where we take it so for granted today that we get up and we can't imagine not having it. And everybody talks about doomsday and this happening and that and losing your power and all this kind of stuff, but it's not that far back that we live like that. Hello? And it wasn't doomsday. But I can imagine if you had been living in those days and then all of a sudden, you know, you got you a Maytag in there working. Woo! Man, you ladies, I mean, it's like, this is glorious to go out and scrub on a rock. And I myself was thinking this morning about where I live and how far I'd have to go to get water and you know, and the work involved in getting clothes, you know, and washed. But all of a sudden, pa-voom, man, all of a sudden you got it, and then you get, it's all, but then you don't remember those days because you get to live in the comfort. And what happens to us is we get to living in the comfort of life and we forget that God has to be first in everything that we do. Because we get to where, you know, especially as Americans, we get to where we don't think we need God. Oh, yeah, we need him to get to heaven. Oh, yeah, we need him when we get really sick. Oh, yeah, we need him when there's a problem. But in our daily walk, I mean, you're not having to say, oh, God, man, I'm going to go out today and my family's going to starve if I can't shoot a squirrel. We don't think about it like that. We don't think about everything of every aspect of your life praying. Praise God for modern medicine. If our kids get sick, we take them to the doctor, right? But if there was no medicine, anything, and you were just your faith praying? Oh. All I'm trying to say is God wants to be first in our life. And the first order of business you have to have is he wants to be first. Not second, not third, not the pitch hitter that's going to come in for you because maybe he can knock him the home run. He wants to be first. And first means having a relationship. And first means taking time. And first means reading your word. And first means praying. And first means getting to know this God. Am I just ruining the moment? We have to live our lives by conviction. We have to live our lives by what the Word of God says. And if we're not living by our convictions, which are based upon what the Word says, well, then I'll tell you, we're not living right. So I went over that last week. I just gave you a little touch of a review there. Look at the person beside you and said, boy, I'm glad. I hope he goes to the next point quick. Which brings us to the second point. Now listen to me. There's something going on in the world today of trying to get us to say and to believe that God changes. That the gospel has to evolve to the society today to accept everything and to walk in everything. You even hear talk of the Constitution's out of date. It needs to be evolved into the society because it's not relevant for what is today. Listen, doing right is always relevant. The problem is they just want to change what doing right is. Hello? God is a God who does not change. Listen to me. That doesn't mean he's hard-nosed. That doesn't mean he doesn't give in. That's not saying like that. No, I'm telling you what God said is right. Out of the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. God's not a liar and God's not changing. What God said was right the first time, so he doesn't have to change. Have you ever thought you were right and then found out you were wrong? And then tried to somehow or another mask it up that you weren't really wrong? Something must have changed. That can't be right. You thought you were right, and then you got home, talked to your wife, and then you found out you were wrong? The only thing that makes me madder than that is when I thought I was right, and then I found out it looked like I was wrong, but then I was really right. It makes me mad that I thought I was wrong to start out with. That's a driving deal, you know. I think it was supposed to turn here. No, not supposed to turn there. It was supposed to turn here. Yeah, turn here. See, it doesn't look like it's right. Oh, wait a minute. There it is. Oh. It's like, how could I have doubted myself? God's a guy that doesn't lie. God is a guy that doesn't lie. What he said it. It was right the first time, and so he doesn't have to change because what he said was right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's look at that for a second. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you, by us and by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. He's talking about, he's preaching the gospel. He said, God's not going to say today you can get saved if you believe by faith in Jesus, but tomorrow it might change and then you need to offer a sacrifice. He's not, it's what's written in the word, okay, what he promised, it will come to pass. Listen to me, church. That's why the enemy wants so hard to talk you out of your healing, talk you out of your faith, talk you out of your prosperity, talk you out of living for him, talk you that it doesn't do any good to go to church every week, talk you out of whatever he can possibly get to get you to compromise on believing, because he knows God is not going to change. It doesn't do any good for the devil to argue with God, because God, he knows he ain't going to change. But he knows if he can argue with you and get you to compromise, then you become flaky. Oh, yes, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. But then you compromise over here. Y'all are looking at me funny. You make me end up feel uncomfortable. We all do it. We all do it. We say, God, I'm going to trust in you no matter what. And then I guess no matter what happens. Right? And then we freak out and fall apart. We worry, we scream, we fight, we run around, we do all kinds of crazy things. Our emotions are up and down or whatever, and we're just freaking out all the time, this and that and the other. Oh, oh. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like God gets hold of us again, shakes us. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, now. Everything's okay. I thought you were believing me and trusting me. I've got this under control. Yeah, but Lord, you're not moving fast enough. I don't see anything going on. I don't see this happening. I don't know that you're really doing it. Did you really hear my prayer? I don't know. The other day I had one of these freak out days, you know, like I could feel it coming on that morning. It was just like that morning was a morning of freak out. I knew I was going to freak out. And so it's like, you know, like you look at it and okay, now I've got to be here at 9 o'clock and meet this person. And then I'm going to be able to leave from there. And that meeting shouldn't take more than about 15 or 20 minutes. And I'll be over here. I got enough time to drive over there. And then that will be okay. And then I'll get that done and accomplished. Then I can go to this over here. And it was looked like it could work. And then, you know, all of a sudden the guy at 9 isn't going to be there till 10, and then that's getting some messes, and then this is going up there, and this thing is starting to go, and I need to be here, and I need to get over there, and how's this going to happen, and we're going to have to go over here. And so finally, you know, I mean, I was freaking, and I just threw down and said, you know, I don't care if anything happens today. Black God, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. I'm not going to get myself all caught up in this emotional energy. Lord, you said that at the end of the day I was supposed to be over here, and you said you'd order my steps. And so however it works out, it's just going to work out. And as I begin to drive down the road and begin to just go to the first thing, saying, Lord, I just praise you, you know, and just whatever. I don't care how, because I myself always like to do what I said I'm going to do. And so I just, you know, all of a sudden this thing pops up and person calls it, God, I'm sorry, I can't make that meeting today. Okay, go. Thank you. It's just went off the list. Their fault, not mine. Things are just popping around and happening. And at the end of the day, everything turned out just like it was going to. Just like it was supposed to. There was no sense in me freaking out. There was no sense in me. But at the moment, I was freaking because that's what I looked at. Because we look with our eyes. But if we're going to really realize that God is a God that doesn't change, and so if he said he'd do it, he'd do it, then there's no sense in even debating the issue. Am I right? If he's a God that doesn't change and his promises are yes and amen, well, then his promises are yes and amen. They're not knowing, maybe I think so. Hello? Y'all out there? Why is it so hard for us to believe that what the Bible says is true? Because we walk with our eyes. We want to see it. We want to live in a see it, then believe it mode. Not see it by reading it and saying, God, you said it. If you said it, it must be so. I got to tell you this one. You know, when I was a kid, I was in an accident. And I got my hand caught in a pulley system on a hammer mill. And my hand went through it, and it broke my finger over here in about three or four places, cut it all to pieces, and cut my fingers all up. And it was you know, just dangling. And they took me to the hospital. And you know, it's one of those things, like, after a while, you don't know what's going on. I lost a lot of blood, you know, and I get down there. And so they're going to do surgery, and they fix my finger. But it didn't work. It didn't work properly. It doesn't work properly. I can't bend it. It won't bend any further than this. And it's numb, and it doesn't always work right. I can't feel it sometimes. And anyway, but I've lived with it all these years. When I got saved, after I started hearing the message about healing, I thought, well, you know, here's a good practice tool right here. You know, I mean, God, you said you'd heal anything. So, by God, here's my finger. So, every morning I'd pray, saying, thank you for healing my finger in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to, you get it. No, it doesn't still work. And I had already learned to play a guitar with just three fingers because this one doesn't work. I can't bend it around to grab the frets. And so I learned to play with just three fingers, and I just went on living. But I'd always pray for it. And at first I was like, man, on fire. I mean, I pray about my finger all the time. And then one day it didn't happen instantly. So just got a little less and a little less and a little less and a little less. And you know what? Today I don't even think about praying about it. I just go on. Don't even think it's on there. Matter of fact, until just a minute when I thought about it, I hadn't prayed about God healing my finger in, I don't know, probably a whole year. In other words, nothing ever changed on God's point. It just changed on my point. I just quit praying about it. But you see, if it was really an issue, I'd have spent a whole lot more time. The thing is, we get easily talked out of believing God for anything. We just get easily talked out of believing God. And the more comfort we get, the less we believe God for anything. Now, I like comfort. I'm glad I didn't have to go stoke up a fire this morning and get my coffee. I'm glad I have electricity in my house. I want it to stay on. I don't want to be a doomsdayist. I don't want it to go out. I like the comforts. I mean, I go on a mission trip, I'll suffer. I don't have to worry about it. I want to come home to comfort. Unless you live in the mission field, and then that's a different story. But if I want to get back to nature, I just go on a mission trip. I mean, it's no big deal. I go to Guatemala for a while, you know. Go live with my buddies in Mexico. But I want to come home to comfort. I'm sorry. I'm really turning into a pansy, I guess. I like it. I don't think any of us do we? I like air conditioning. I am not going to ever vote against air conditioning. I mean, they tell me all kinds of things, bad for your health, whatever. Hey, I'm cool. I don't care. I like air conditioning. Y'all with me? So, I don't think comfort's bad if we can keep our mind on track of what it's about. Y'all with me? I'm not against comfort. I'm just saying God has to be first. And we have to realize he's a God that doesn't change. And so we can't be the one that's changing and getting farther out We've got to stay close to Him and growing onto His promises and clinging to Him. I want to look at one more scripture here. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 is what I quoted earlier today, because I really think this is a scripture you need to take home with you. It says about Abraham, he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Listen, it says that he was fully convinced. Everybody say fully convinced. I mean, do you know what it means to be fully convinced? Are there things that you are fully convinced about? Really? I couldn't talk you out of it? No? You've got some things that you're fully convinced about that I could not talk you out of. Well, let's take Jesus out of the deal, okay? I don't want to be all religious on me here, okay? Let's take Jesus out of the picture here. There's some things, some natural things that you're fully convinced of that I couldn't take you out. Some of you ladies, you got some kind of voodoo cooking secret that you're going to stick to, that if I told you that this other flower was better than that flower, that you're going to stick to it, you're not going to change? Huh? You're fully convinced? No? I see some of you shaking heads, some of you shaking, yeah. Some of y'all are going. And others are just looking like this. I'm hungry and I want to go home. I know that look. Let me just challenge you just a second more here. Fully convinced? You've got some things you're fully convinced? There are things you could be talked out of, I guarantee you. There are things that you say, oh yeah, I'm fully convinced in that. And then if I brought in enough data, I could talk you out of it. Some things maybe not. Are y'all with me? But it says Abraham was fully convinced that what he promised. The definition truly of faith is, if you're fully convinced, you're in faith. If you can't be talked out of it, you're in faith. If you're believing God for something, but if I came up and told you, you can't believe God for that. Really? If Pastor said it, it must be true. And I can talk you out of it? You're not fully convinced. I one time argued on a plane with a person about salvation, but I was playing the lost person. They didn't know it. They were trying to witness to me on the plane. I was kind of offended. They thought I didn't look saved. So I played along. I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know if there's a God. Oh, yes, there's a God. And so finally, I got them worked around to see if I could get them to talk them out of their salvation is what I was trying to do. And finally, this person got so frustrated with me, they said, all I can tell you, sir, is I know what I believe, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I said, way to go. And they said, excuse me? So I was just trying to get to you and see if you really believe what you were trying to preach to me. I said, I'm Pastor Robert Richards, Pastor Livermore Church. They didn't think it was too funny, but I really liked it. I'm like, if you're going to, you know, try to witness to see if you really got the tools. And so I had them all messed up in their head on all the scriptures. And I said, yeah, but that could mean this. And I had them all messed up. And they weren't too convinced in their witnessing ability by the time I got through ripping them. But when it boiled right down to it, he said, listen, all I can tell you is I know what I believe in my heart. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. You're in faith. See, that's what makes the difference, church. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. All right? Being fully convinced. When you're fully convinced of what the Word of God says for you, let me explain what happens. When you get fully convinced, you're in faith. And when you're in faith, something begins to happen. You can't see it. You can't grab it. You can't feel it except maybe in joy in your life. When you are fully convinced that what God had promised He's able to perform, you enter into faith. And when you enter into faith, you get taken from your position to heaven. I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. You get ushered into the throne room of God. You get ushered into where Jesus sits. You get ushered into where the anointing is. When you are fully convinced that you believe it, your spirit ends up in heaven, in the throne of God, right before Jesus, under the anointing. Hear what I'm saying here, church? Something happens. It's not in your head. Your head will lead you to hell. It's your head's got to get out of the way so that your spirit, your heart, the real you, you just know what you believe. When you know that and you're fully convinced, then you're entering into faith. And when you're getting a hold of the Word of God, it ushers you right into the throne room of God. And when you walk into the throne room, it's really interesting because if you go back and you read the Old Testament, come on, just stay with me for just a second. This is really good. Don't lose me. The roast will wait. It ain't going to burn. Don't worry. Those rolls are going to be good with that butter oozing down the side. But just hold on here just a minute more. When you get ushered into the throne in the Old Testament, when you went in there, you could not go into the Holy of Holies. You could not go around any of the things, but everything had to be consecrated. Everything had to be anointed. And they had a special anointing oil that they made, a special mix. And he put that on something. You just walk up there. I don't know how they did it. Sometimes they put it on there with a finger or whatever, but I'm using this microphone for a prop. You'd stick it in there and you put it on there. And when you touch that plate, that dish, that bread, that candlestick, that whatever, it became holy that quick. Now, come on. Even hand sanitizer doesn't work that good. Right? You dipped it, you touched it, holy. Happened. Nobody questioned it. The only question, was it anointed? Yeah, I anointed it. Yeah, I put some oil on it. I anointed it. Boop, touched it. There was it. Everybody then knew it was holy. It became holy in the presence of God. It's the same way when Moses went up and God said, take your shoes off, the ground just stands holy. It's the same issue that then it took him right into the presence of God because he was anointed. When he was anointed, because his faith had taken him there. Listen to me. When Abraham was fully convinced, his faith then took him to the presence of God where he was anointed because he was with the Holy One, the anointed. Jesus, when he says Jesus the Messiah, Messiah means the anointed one. But listen to this. It didn't mean he was dripping with oil. Right? When it says Jesus the Anointed One or Jesus the Messiah, it meant that's who God chose. And said, He's holy. So then He was holy, so then He became the Holy One, the Anointed One. Follow me with this. Come on, don't lose me. I'm going to end up right here. Just hold on. When you're fully convinced, your faith in takes your spirit to heaven where you walk boldly into the throne room of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, to go boldly to the throne room. How are you going to get boldly to the throne room? You can't get a ticket. You can't buy it. You can't go get on the space shuttle and fly to heaven. How are you going to get there? So, well, when I die, brother. Well, that's too long. You need answers now. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. How are you going to get to the throne room of grace? Something's got to happen. Something's got to take place. I'm not talking about some strange, psycho-induced, whatever you would call it, projectile imagery to get you to heaven. Oh, I see the throne. Get a light bulb, put it in front of your face. Yes, I see the bright light. No. I'm talking about how the gospel works. If you're faith, you're fully convinced you're in faith, then you're going somewhere. You're going to the throne. And at the throne, there's the anointing, the anointed one, Jesus. And when that anointing touches you, then whatever you need happens. You're not fully convinced I can talk you out of it? The process doesn't work. Because if I can talk you out of it, you're not in faith. And if you're not in faith, you've not gone to the throne. If you've not gone to the throne, you've not got touched by the anointed one. You're not anointed. Look at the person beside you and say, my. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 simply says this. And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The way the burden gets relieved, the way that the answer to your prayer comes about is the anointing. You've got to touch the anointed one to get the anointing. The only way you can touch the anointed one is you've got to go to heaven. The only way you can go to heaven is get in faith. And when you're in faith, it just happens. You don't know how you're getting there. You know, I get on an elevator and I push the button to whatever floor I want to go to. And I don't really at that moment think about the mechanics of how the elevator works. Right? I don't push that button and think about how the electricity just went to this circuit pad and went to this thing and went to that thing, did this and told that and this and that. All right, I just push the button and say, I want to go to the third floor. That's third floor. I don't even think about it. Hello? Well, when you're in faith, I'm breaking this down in depthly this morning, but when you fully convinced in faith, it's just like you just walked in the elevator and pushed the button. I'm telling you how the mechanics are working because it's taking you to the throne and you're getting the anointing. Just happens. When you start to operate in faith all the time, it's just like walking in the elevator and you just push a button and you just know it's going to happen. You know that when you prayed, you really prayed, and you know you're in faith and you're fully convinced, it's just like you just walk there and push the button. You're going to get to the floor you need to go. It may take some time. The higher the floors, the longer it takes on the elevator. The higher you're believing God for, the longer it's going to take you to get up there. But if you're fully convinced, you're going to get there. So it's time for us to know that our God's a God that does not change. It's time for us to put God first. Know that He's a God that does not change. Be fully convinced in your faith so you can end up at the throne, so that you can get by the anointed one that can anoint you and break all the yoke off of your life. Amen? Amen. Put your Bibles up and stand to your feet, please. Thank you for being patient, or at least acting like you were with me. Don't forget to come over here in a minute and visit with Trisha and Andy and the project going on. Can I have my prayer team come down, though? Pastoral team. If you're in here today, listen to me, and you need more prayer, something's stirring in your heart right now and you need more prayer, we want to pray with you. We want to set our agreement with you. We want to pray that prayer that we're fully convinced of so God can touch your heart and bless you. Amen? So come up here and pray. But listen to me, everyone, for just a second. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not really sure, fully convinced today that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Those of you watching by video, those of you listening by radio, you don't know. You're hearing it right now, but you're not sure that if you died, you'd even go to heaven. You don't know that Jesus is in charge of your life. You're not fully convinced. You could be talked out of it. Then listen to me. Don't live a life like that. Don't live a life like that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you'd confess with your mouth and you would believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, that He arose again on the third day. Folks, that's all it takes. Your faith and belief in Jesus as the Son of God. So if you're in here today, matter of fact, if everybody just give everybody a little privacy around you, just bow your heads around you and give everybody a little bit of privacy around you. And let me ask you, if that's you, do you want to pray today? Is today your first day? If it is, just lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, I want you to pray with me right here. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Today's my day. Today's my first day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. then I want to pray. Everybody pray with me. All of y'all, those of you watching today, pray this with me if you're believing Jesus, in Jesus today. Say, Jesus, today I give you my heart. I ask you to come into my life, to wash my sins away, to make heaven my home. I believe, Jesus, that you're the Son of God and you're the perfect sacrifice. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. Now, church, listen to me. We're here for prayer, if you need prayer. But listen, you go out those doors and you go out into that world, you're going to run across people this week. They're going to need to be encouraged. They're going to need to know something good. It's your job to tell them. It's your job to tell this world that Jesus is alive and well. Amen? So reach out this week. Bless somebody. Grab that person's hand next to you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, as we go from this building today, I just declare that the blessing of God is upon us. I thank you, Lord God, that we leave encouraged, we leave charged, we leave fully convinced that what you promised, you're able to perform. So I thank you for it, Lord. Bless them as they go. Give us people this week across our paths that we can lead to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Hey, God bless you. We're down here to pray for you if you need to.